Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, it is Taz and the Moose with you here on this Monday morning on CBS Sports Radio, coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. You've got Connor and Mike across the way, Bogish, with your updates till 9 a.m. Eastern time. We go, and we'll be joined a little later on this hour by Bobby Carpenter, NFL analyst, former linebacker at Ohio State with the Dallas Cowboys as well. He'll join us, NFL analyst. We'll chat with him, his impressions week one, what we should read into, what should we overreact to or not overreact to. So all that coming your way later on this hour, Taz. But first, let's kick off this hour. Here we go, the three.
It is now time for the three. We get you caught up on the three biggest headlines of the day with Taz and the Moose. Number one.
Patriots crush the Steelers as the Antonio Brown era in New England is about to begin.
Yeah, look at Bogus trying to pull a Zach Martin there. Wow. Zach out all week long. Wow. The voice of the three here on Taz and the Moose. And
thank you.
There's Bogus trying to pull a funny.
Yeah, you know, because it's as if his voice is not on our show enough as it is. Now he's got a big mic to do the three, and then, like you said, try to be funny guy. Real funny. Real funny, Andrew.
Antonio Brown.
Yes,
there so you annoying. Go.
As the Patriots last night destroy the Pittsburgh Steelers 33-3, the final. Not much went well for Pittsburgh in this one. Connor had 21 yards on the ground. Roethlisberger 276 through the air and an interception. Everything went well for the New England Patriots as Brady threw three touchdowns. They ran for 98 yards, nearly 100 yards as a team. And you look at it, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 different Patriots. Including the great Ryan Izzo caught passes from Tom Brady last night against the Pittsburgh Steelers. And it should be no surprise they handle Pittsburgh very easily, especially up in Foxborough. They do. They have. That Steeler defense still has yet to adjust. Their linebackers can't cover what the Patriots are looking to do. Guys are running wide and free. Dorsett with a couple touchdowns. You know, the Patriots looked like the Patriots on a night in which they get, you know, unfurl the championship banner, Taz, and everyone's going raucous up at Foxborough. The Patriots lay the wood on the Steelers.
Yeah, it was a complete beatdown, just a beating. There was never any, just it felt like there was no flow for the Pittsburgh Steelers at all. Roethlisberger in the pocket, you know, we know he's not fleet-footed. He's never has been. I got to be honest, he looked old. He looked heavy. He looked sluggish is the right word, I think. I want to use the adjective. He looked sluggish. And he, like I said, he's never been known to be like super fast out of the pocket. He's always been a little heavy footed, but he looked really clunky. I don't think, you know, I can't think of any other adjectives. And there just was no Juju. Okay, Juju is supposed to be Antonio Brown's replacement, meaning he's the one receiver. You know, he's the guy. He's going to be the guy. He was 8-6 for 78 yards. You know, so I mean, it's like, you know, it's just somehow you would think at this point Ben and Juju would have a better rhythm going. But you got to tip your cap to Bill Belichick running that defense for the Patriots because they looked great, Moose.
Oh, they look fantastic. And, you know, New England, as we talked a lot about these teams that look kind of like with the preseason, the way that, you know, the way that preseason football is handled. You look at a lot of teams and they get out of the gate walking. You know, the Patriots handle their preseason properly and they seem to always get off to great starts, especially at home. You know, I'm not telling you they win every opener every single year, but they, you know, they know what they want to do going into it and they're able to accomplish it more often than not. You know, they're 6-0 in their career at home versus the Steelers, including the playoffs. When you look at Brady, he's been absolutely brilliant against this Steelers defense, regardless of who the personnel on that Steelers defense and what they're trying to do. They're able to adjust as the game goes along, Taz. And He looks great. He doesn't look like a quarterback in his 40s. He was making pinpoint throws. He had the arm strength last night. Whatever he's doing, he continues to do. And the most impressive thing is the drive and the hunger that still drives both men that are the faces of that franchise, even with all the success they have.
Yeah, it's... what do you say about the Patriots? They are a full-blown dynasty, empire.
You'll never see anything like this again.
No. I mean, you're a Yankee fan, and you've witnessed all the great Yankee success and teams for years and years, and the New York Yankees franchise is, you know, revered, just as the Patriots are. And I think the Patriots might outdo the Yankees. They might, you know, be more of a, the best sports franchise of all time.
I mean, it's tough to say all time.
Time's an overstatement, maybe. Yeah,
I don't think you'll. You know, I think in current times, I think they are. I think the brilliance they've been able to carry. I think when you look at, you know, say the Canadiens in the NHL, when you look at Yankees in Major League Baseball, you know, you even look at the Steelers historically, what they've been. You know, you look at the Patriots in this run, though, Taz. It's greater than the Yankees' run in the late 90s. The Yankees win in 4 of 5 World Series. It's greater than that run because the amount of times they've been in the Super Bowl, the amount of times that they've won it, and the duration of time that they've been able to carry this brilliance over.
Yeah, it's amazing, especially in modern times, like you said, how sports change, athletes change, the evolution of the athlete and how much faster they are and bigger, stronger, faster, and all that stuff. Yeah.
Well, think about this. Great thing that was pointed out last night during the course of the broadcast. Didn't think about it, right? Devin Bush.
Yeah.
Linebacker, Pittsburgh Steelers.
Right.
Right? 2001, Tom Brady played against Devin Bush's father. Okay.
Think about that. That's crazy.
I mean, think about that.
That shows you how Brady is just...
I mean,
he's a robot.
Right.
He's
a robot. He played against Devin Bush Sr., then a member of the Cleveland Browns.
I didn't know that.
Now Devin Bush Jr. is a member of the Pittsburgh Steelers, right? The former Michigan linebacker.
Sure, yeah. Excellent
who
linebacker.
Who was a first-round draft choice, 10th overall. So Brady has played against Devin Bush's father in 2001.
That's crazy.
He played against his son last night.
Wow.
That's insane. Think about that.
It is insane.
Think about the timing and all that goes into it. I mean, and the amount of the brilliance and how Brady's been able to carry this along.
It's amazing.
It's insane.
It's amazing. And that's why I do think they could go down to be the best. I know I said it before. I'm not going to back it up. The best sports franchise maybe of all time. You're saying modern time. I feel the Yankees had that. I think we're starting to see the Patriots pass your Yankees.
Stop.
Look, best sports franchise in the world ever, right? Yankees, Lakers, Manchester United, okay? Soccer, football club.
They just don't have the number of championships.
I know. They're on their way, dude. I'm not a Patriot lover. You know that. So I hate them.
The Pats are going to win, you know, 20 more championships?
Yes. The way they played last night,
Brady's,
they could do that.
Brady.
What's that? Right, Brady's 65 years old, still playing
still
quarterback.
Going. Playing against Devin Bush's grandson.
Right, exactly. All right, next.
Number two.
The Titans destroy the Browns.
Oh, I forgot he was doing this.
They do. They certainly do. The Tennessee Titans. Here is, let's play Delanie Walker talking about the Cleveland Browns after the, 43-13 final Tennessee victory. Take a listen.
Circle this game. This is just another game. We ain't worried about it. I'm going to tell you again, man. They were who we thought they were. Y'all can crown them if you want to crown them. Still got to play football.
Yeah, you do. Here is Mayfield after the loss.
Everybody's going to throw us in the trash. And I think that's good. I know what type of men we have in this locker room. And quite frankly, I don't really give a damn what happens on the outside. I know how we're going to react. I know what we're going to do. How we're going to bounce back, and we got a Monday night game coming up. We don't really care.
Look, I can't even wait for him to stop talking. Yeah, that's what I meant early. Say it's not humble. I'm glad we played it again because it's not. He's not being humble. He needs to be humbled. And you would think getting their asses kicked yesterday would humble him a little bit and getting embarrassed. All the chatter, all the weapons, all the hype. Guys like us talking about how they're going to be the champs, how they're going to go this far and that far and then they get spanked by the Titans. And I don't know. I would have liked to hear Baker Mayfield. I respect his toughness. I respect his heart. I know the chip on his shoulder. It's well documented. We've all talked about it ad nauseum. I know. But I think that's a point where you got to tuck tail a little bit and suck it up. And you got to say, you know, hey, the media should be ripping us. Hey,
they don't really care.
We played really bad. Hey, we deserve it. Whatever, any ridicule we're going to get, we deserve. Instead, he comes out like, I don't give a damn. Nobody, oh, relax, tough guy.
Okay? But isn't that just the Mayfield way, though?
But that, yeah, it is. But then it is the Mayfield way. You're right. That is his way in his second year in the NFL because he's a polarizing guy, and there's a target on him now. Physically and, sure. and for people like us who are content providers,
I get, you know? Yeah, no, true, Taz, but I guess I look at it as...
He chirps a lot.
No, he does, but he could also be putting something else out there for us to take in, but he could also internally be feeling a little bit humbled by what transpired.
But
Because he's had this tough guy, us against the world mentality. I'm not going to show my, you know, soft underbelly, the macho world of the National Football League, but, you know, me, double walk-on in college, Heisman Trophy winner, number one overall pick. You know, I'm going to maintain the course. Everything's going to be all right. And does it in his kind of, you know, snotty way. But isn't that just kind of him being him? I mean, I would... Taz, wouldn't you think those guys were humbled? If they weren't humbled after that kind of a loss, 18 penalties over 180 yards, lose a game by home by 30 points, Mayfield throws three interceptions. Yeah, if that, then that coaching staff has got a lot of work to do.
At home.
Yeah, that should be a case. That should be a case of in terms of where you walk out of there saying, you know, we've got a lot of work to do.
Yeah, and they do.
They do.
And I think that the lack of humility and being humble is coming from Freddie Kitchens at the top.
Yeah,
he wants to be Mr. Player Coach. He wants to be Baker's buddy, Baker wants to be buddy with the head cheese. Okay, that's great. Well, that didn't help you get your ass with 43-13 at home. That your fan base was booing and going off. I saw some stuff on Twitter from during the game yesterday. There was some alcohol involved, but Browns fans in the stadium, it was like an uproar. I mean, they were really mad at their team.
Well, I'm sure.
Like, really
I'd be bothered, too. All they did was talk. Everyone speculated. I bought in. You bought in.
I bought in, too. We got these great weapons on this team, dude. How do you not win?
Disaster.
Well, play close. You got Landry. You got Beckham. You got Beckett. And then Joku. We had 37 yards. One of the better tight ends in the game. You got 37 yards.
Well, how about Delanie Walker saying, we circled this one on the calendar. We wanted this one. Oh, and they played like it. They really did.
Sure did.
All right, next.
Number 3.
Red Sox fire Dombrowski 1 year after title.
How obnoxious is his voice when he does
stunning.
It on purpose.
Usually
his voice doesn't get me that mad. Yeah,
he's doing it for a fact.
He knows that he's going to prod me. That's why.
How about the fact that Dave Dombrowski is out? Now, the Red Sox have not had a good year. 1 year after winning a championship, the 63-year-old is out. After being the architect and leading that team to a title a year ago. Now, you know, he didn't help himself. He handed out what it looks like it's going to be a terrible contract to Chris Sale during the course of the offseason, Taz. But, I was surprised. I was not, and mind you, we don't live in Boston. I wasn't reading the tea leaves on a day in, day out basis. But I was surprised that Dombrowski was fired last night.
I was too. I mean, you just were in a championship with this team, you built built something special. You go 76. Right now they're at 76-67, and they're sitting third in the AL East. Okay, right under obviously the Yankees, and then it's Tampa Bay. So, who knows what's going on behind the scenes? But yeah, I was surprised too that they canned them. I really was. But look, they it's going to be tough for the Boston fans and for the ownership and everything that the Yankees. That's their arch rival, probably the best, one of the best top two or three rivalries in sports history, Yankees and Red Sox. I'm giving a lot of history today, a lot of all-time comments, history. Yeah. I don't normally do that. But anyway, so they got to be really pissed that the Yankees are just dominating, sitting at 94-50
right
now.
Yeah, but it shows you, Taz, I guess you look at some of the deals that he handed out. David Price, the $217 million deal. He's got $96 million remaining, final 3 years of that contract. I mentioned the Sale deal. Signed a five-year, $145 million extension in spring training that does not begin until next year. Gave Nate Eovaldi $68 million to Eovaldi. First year of a four-year deal. He has struggled this year. You know, Cora said he was shocked, quote-unquote, by the news that Dombrowski was out. Usually you give, but, you know, you look at egos, I guess relationships. They didn't like the way that the money was spent. Dombrowski has been a free spender in a lot of spots that he has been. Helped deliver a championship there, but it was just not good enough for him to remain out there. And I guess over recent weeks that his future was was cloudy, to put it. But nobody expected him to get fired last night.
No, and, you know, if you think about this, you know this. If you're a coach on that team or, you know, or a player on that team, you know, they're putting everybody on notice. When they do something like this, they're going right there, and you're gonna just cut the knees out, fire the president of the team after winning a World Series winning a World Series, and then you go and you fire the guy. If you're a player on that team or a coach, you're like, man, nobody's safe here. You know, these guys aren't playing around. You know, it puts everybody on notice, too.
Well, it does. And if you're Cora, how do you feel? Dombrowski's the one that brought you in. You're some of those guys, and they're going to have a difficult scenario here with the money that they've laid out for some of those starters here with Mookie Betts, who's expected to make well over $25 million in arbitration, and they're looking to try and sign Mookie Betts to a long-term deal if they can. The general manager who steps in, you know, is going to have a scenario where he has to trade Mookie Betts, which would be impossible to do.
Yeah, Boston. I know.
As good of a player as he is.
He's a real good
player, yeah. Dombrowski out, the 63-year-old. He's had a lot of success as an executive in Major League Baseball. Won last year with the Boston Red Sox. Out this season after the Red Sox have kind of stumbled their way through the 2019 campaign. So there you have it, your big three storylines on this Monday morning. We'll come back. We got an update. Bobby Carpenter will join us as well. We'll talk a little National Football League with him. Reaction to week one. Look ahead to the two Monday night games tonight. You got a double dip. Taz, Moose, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on your car insurance. We'll run around the National Football League with Bobby Carpenter, a former star at Ohio State, Dallas Cowboy as well, current NFL analyst. See him all over the place. He'll join Taz and myself here momentarily. Bogish, what's going on, Andy?
Oh, hey, guys. So, before officially adding...
By the way, good job on the updates.
I heard you guys compliment me earlier.
Oh,
I appreciate that, yeah, for putting me over. That's really sweet of you.
Nope.
Before officially adding Antonio Brown, the Patriots look pretty dangerous already in the air.
Shotgun snap to Brady. Backs up. Four-man rush. Dumps it off across the middle. Catch by Gordon. Striding to the 20. And he totals at the 5. Out of a tackle. Staying alive. Into the end zone. Patriots!
Bob Sosi and Taz on Patriots Radio.
Yeah, who was the other guy?
That is Scott Zolak.
Scott Zolak.
Yeah, we've had him on. That's right.
No, he's not been on. We haven't had him on? No.
We should have him on. I love having guests like that on. No, we haven't had him on. We might confuse them with what we had on. That don't matter. I'm confused them with somebody.
I don't know.
I know
that
could be anybody.
Dave Lapham.
So.
That's it. Mike understands. Dave Lapham. Oversell Jones.
It was Dave Lapham.
He's right. That's who I confused it with. Yeah. I don't have
really?
Yeah.
Yeah, because Lapham goes a little out of control on his Bengals.
That's exactly what Mike. Oh, thank you.
Not to the level of Zolak.
Okay. Well, while you two were laughing at me, bullying me and making fun of me.
Dave Lapham. Yeah. Ding ding winner.
Okay, right, okay.
Congratulations, Mike.
Mike knows. Mike, there's a connection with Mike and I. Mike understands. We're on the same Zen line, Mike and I.
I knew where your brain was going.
That's scary, but you do. Yes.
That is.
All right.
I think it's scarier for you, Taz.
Yeah, it might be.
That was the first of three TD passes from Tom Brady. The other two to Philip Dorsett. The Pats also looked good on D, smothering Ben Roethlisberger Steelers in Foxborough last night.
We just couldn't convert third downs. We couldn't get drives. Couldn't sustain things. And that's partly on us and partly because of them.
So the Patriots start their season with a 33-3 rout. They've won their last 14 regular season home games, and today they should officially sign Brown. Baker Mayfield picked off three times. His Browns committed 18 penalties, humbled at home in week one by the Titans, 43-13. The Cowboys crushed the Giants, 35-17. Four touchdown passes from Dak Prescott, 53 yards and a score from Ezekiel Elliott. The Rams held off the Panthers, 30-27. The Bills turned a 16-0 hole into a 17-16 yes. W at the Jets. And the Cardinals and Lions played to a 27-all tie in Arizona. Kyler Murray, a pair of fourth-quarter TD throws to survive regulation. The Niners returned two Jameis Winston picks for scores in a 31-17 win in Tampa Bay. The Vikings topped the Falcons 28-12. The Ravens shamed the Dolphins 59-10. That's a new final score in NFL history. No game before yesterday had ended 59-10. We've now had 1,048 unique final scores in league history.
Whoa.
Tonight, we get the Saints hosting the Texans, then it's Denver in Oakland. As you guys mentioned last segment, the Red Sox firing team president Dave Dombrowski last night, and as you mentioned, manager Alex Cora owes Dombrowski his job.
He's a guy that gave me a chance to come here and be a big league manager, and it's one of those that they cut me, they just told me, so I'm not ready to talk about it.
Dombrowski fired as the Yankees closed out a 10-5 win at Fenway last night, and Rafael Nadal a five-set win over Daniil Medvedev to win his fourth U.S. Open yesterday. Guys?
All right. Thank you, Andrew. Appreciate it. Let's hit the guest lines. Welcome aboard. Talk a little bit more NFL. Bobby Carpenter joins us now. Hey, Bobby, Taz and the Moose with you. Thanks for a couple minutes this morning.
What's up, Bobby?
Hey, gentlemen. My pleasure.
Yeah, you got it. So many different ways you can go reacting to what transpired yesterday, Bobby. But I guess, what impressed or stunned you the most by what transpired on the first NFL Sunday?
Ooh, gosh. There was a couple things. Number one, probably how bad Miami was. I mean, I understand what you're trying to tank, but, I mean, I don't think the Baltimore Ravens are the best team in the NFL, and it looked like a Big 12 game at points out there. Atlanta going into Minnesota, and I think part of it is Atlanta didn't play very well, but Minnesota, I think, is a team that is going to challenge in the NFC. And then I was surprised at how bad the Cowboys beat up on the Giants, to tell you the truth as well. I thought the defense would be a little bit better than that, but Cowboys look to be clicking on all cylinders on offense, and I was surprised that you don't get Daniel Jones in there at some point in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, they had him in, as you know, Bobby, very late in the fourth quarter for a few. Then he fumbled when he was going for a first down, but he didn't play much. To your point, I agree with you. I thought they would have played him a lot more. So they were getting beat up on. But so, got to ask you though, nothing to do with yesterday, but Antonio Brown. Obviously, everything that's been going on. Just love to get your feelings on everything that transpired with Antonio Brown from over the weekend, and now that he's on the Patriots, and all of the drama, the plethora of issues with the Raiders and whatnot. Love to get your take on it, man.
Well, the plethora of issues, you begin to look back on everything that happened. I think as he was probably on that Raiders team, he realized they probably weren't very good. And people don't turn down that much guaranteed money unless they know they're going to get money somewhere else. So it wouldn't surprise me if the last week and a half, his agent, Drew Rosenhaus, is working back channels, kind of seeing what was potentially out there. Should he not be a Raider if there was interest in other teams? Because I think the Patriots were interested initially, but the Steelers wouldn't trade him to a team that even though they're not in the division, they're really a big rival for him on an AFC.
Sure, of course.
On an AFC scope. So I think he kind of ended up probably where he wanted to be. And yeah, he gave up really the whole second year of guarantees and the third of the guarantees in this season. But, without seeing the full structure of the incentives, I wouldn't be surprised if he's able to earn back that entire $15 million that he was supposed to get this year anyway.
Yeah, and do you think it works for AB up in New England?
You know, you watch the Patriots do this. You know, you look at Corey Dillon, Randy Moss, works really well. Chad Johnson, Albert Haynesworth didn't work out really at any level. I think it's probably going to be more like the Moss-Dillon situation. AB still has a ton left in the tank. And the one thing he does do is he works hard at practice. There's a lot of ancillary things that happen. But you never see anybody in New England ever get heavily involved with stuff in social media. And so I wouldn't be surprised. Like, I don't know if they have a scrambler there with Belichick when you get there. I mean, but he addresses it with the team. Like, nobody really talks. You know, like, nobody leaks things out on Twitter, Instagram. Like, that's not a deal for them. So if he doesn't do that, it will work. And I anticipate that he'll keep that under control, and partially because of Bill and the other part because of Brady.
Right, right. And Brady, as you know, I'm sure you heard this, he offered for a while Antonio Brown's getting situated up there in New England for him to stay at his house. That's pretty nice for Brady.
Yeah, are you guys married?
Yes, yeah, both of us are, yeah.
Yeah, both. I mean, I wonder if he ran that by his wife first. You know?
Good point.
It's like you asking, you know, one of your buddies to come stay for, hey, come stay for a couple of days, maybe for a week.
Yeah, yeah, right. Hey, honey, I got Mr. Big Chest staying at the house. Do you mind?
Oh, I mean, Mr. Big Chest. You know what I mean? The guy with the blonde mustache?
Yeah. That guy with Lil Wayne?
But here's Lil Wayne.
I was Beckham.
Yeah, Lil Wayne, but here's the difference, Bobby. My house is 1,800 square feet, not 18,000. So, yeah, I mean, you know, Antonio Brown could be staying there, and you'd have no idea that Antonio Brown's staying there.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, that might be part of it. But yeah. I think Tom's all in on this, I think.
Yeah.
If you watched the Patriots play last night, that offense is really good already. And if you add him into this, I'm not sure there's going to be anyone else that will be able to slow him down.
You mentioned it, you know, I thought Taz and I talked about it a lot this morning, Bobby, in terms of one of the surprises yesterday. How about the Browns and what was just an overall pitiful performance at home against the Tennessee Titans? All the headlines they got in the offseason, sloppy game, 18 penalties over the course of the game, Mayfield with 3 turnovers, 3 interceptions thrown. What about what you saw from the Cleveland Browns and the idea that maybe this kind of performance will be good for the Browns long-term in 2019?
You know, I was trying to kind of avoid that and, like, keep that out of my memory. And sometimes you get caught up trying to watch all these games yesterday. And, you know, the Browns, they came out and they played really good in their first series and looked great. And then all of a sudden stuff started falling apart. And I think, you know, Baker was trying to press in the second half. And sometimes that happens. You start throwing picks. But I was really disappointed with the Browns' defense. You know, and their offensive line being able to protect Baker, get the running game going, and they let a Tennessee team really run all over them. And their tackling was bad. Like, those were the things that were more disappointing to me outside of them not really being able to score the football. You know, they moved it. They just couldn't get it going on third down. And a lot of parts in that is when you look at all the yardage, especially through like 2.5 quarters when it was still pretty close, is they had tons of yards but not any points because they had, like you said, the penalties. There was a massive amount. And so they keep picking up yards, but then they keep moving back. So they weren't able to convert on third down. And it is good for them because sometimes, like, a good beating might promote some personal growth. Everybody takes a little bit of a look in the mirror, tries to figure things out. And you know, sometimes you have to actually lose the game. I think in Philadelphia and Washington, Philadelphia somehow looked like two different teams from the first half to the second half. So they were able to hopefully learn some things in a win. But, you know, the thing is you go back and look at last year. There's things that happened week one. You watch the Tampa Bay Buccaneers beat up on the Saints pretty good, and then all of a sudden the Saints look like the best team in the NFL 5 weeks later, and Tampa Bay is obviously on their way to being near the bottom. And so it's trying not to overreact in just the one thing. I think the Browns still have a really talented roster. I do like Freddie Kitchens. If the turnovers and the penalties continue into the next week, then you have a problem. But if he's able to get those things corrected, then I think moving forward, they're going to be a team that everybody expected them to be.
You listen to Taz the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. Our special guest right now is Bobby Carpenter, former Cowboys linebacker and NFL analyst. One more thing real quick, Bobby, on the Browns. So about Freddie Kitchens, I mean, Moose and I were talking earlier about that, all these penalties and tons as you just went over them all. Not all, but you know what I'm saying. Do you put that on the head coach as a former player and yourself and you know, the lack of discipline? I mean, do you put that on Kitchens? Does it come off like maybe Kitchens trying to be too much of a player's coach type guy instead of a hard ass like a Belichick?
You know, I don't know if he's necessarily, you know, a player's coach. when I listened to him talk in the press conference, he was on a staff in Dallas with me in 2006, and a lot of the things he says are kind of Bill Parcells just things when he's talking publicly. But it all falls on the head coach. And so, you know, the behavior you see is either taught or allowed. And so either they're coaching it or allowing it to happen. So he's got to find a way to get those things corrected. I'm sure that he will. Like,
okay.
He comes out publicly and says some things that I think sound like he's in support of his players. And I think that he does. But there's a balance. And I do believe that he's going to try to run that team with probably, you know, so, as some of the mentors he had, and, you know, Bill being one of those guys. So I would tend to believe this is not going to be a pleasant week of practice. He's not going to be like, you know what, guys, those penalties will take care of themselves. Mm. I'm sure they won't happen twice.
Gotcha.
I think this will be more of somewhere he will then screw down on his players this week so this doesn't happen again.
Bobby, you mentioned one of the more impressive performances. I agree with that. I thought the Giants would play a better football game than they did. Defensively was absolutely atrocious. But from a Cowboy perspective, now the Elliott stuff is in the past. He got a little bit of burn yesterday. Prescott looked absolutely brilliant. We know what that defense can go out there and do. Offensive line, too. He had weapons. Gallup clearly is taking a step forward. You got Randall Cobb, the former veteran from the Green Bay Packers. You know, this Dallas team, you know, hits the ground running, which is something you want to see for a team with the expectations. Now with the Elliott contracts dispute in the rearview mirror that you want to see, that have aspirations of not only making the playoffs, but going deep into the playoffs.
Yeah, they looked really good. And I think they're a very good team. They're a very talented roster, especially now you have Zeke back, and that's all in the past. And he was pretty good, especially for practicing, you know, 3 days. Then going out and playing. I mean, there was a little bit of rust. You could see, I think he got a little gassed at points in time, so he's only going to get better. I want to hesitate because I don't think that they're a team that's going to score, you know, 40 points a game every single week. I think the Giants are probably a little bit better than what they showed as well yesterday. But this Dallas team is, they're one of the top two, probably the top three or four teams in the NFC. And getting to the playoffs, then it's just going to be their time to execute, which is ultimately going to fall back on Jason Garrett, who's in a contract year as well. But winning a ton of regular season games, if they can try to get a bye, get some home field, that's only going to help them in the playoffs. But that is ultimately where they're going to be judged right now. Not just by the fans, but by their owner, who's going to be making decisions on, you know, coaching and personnel moving forward.
You know, Bobby, Moose and I were talking earlier a lot about the Cardinals and the Lions game. We're talking about Kyler Murray. And, you know, I watched the bulk of the game, man. It seemed, I don't know how I want to get your thoughts on Kyler Murray, but it seemed like, and I was saying this earlier on our show here, that Kyler just on the sideline, he just seemed disjointed. Like he didn't, on the field, it just wasn't working. He didn't have like any energy. And then, like, in the fourth quarter, a couple of good throws, a couple of good catches by Fitzgerald. He then, boom, he woke up. But what were your thoughts on his performance? I mean, his numbers end up being pretty good, throwing over 300 yards. But early on, I didn't see that. But I'd love to get your take, you know, from a professional standpoint on Kyler Murray.
You know, I think that's it's just kind of his personality. I don't think he's a really outwardly emotional person. And so, you know, people compare him to Baker Mayfield, who, like, his emotions, he's like a sponge, man. You squeeze and they just pour on out of there. As opposed to, you know, Kyler Murray, he's very level. And so when he's playing bad, you know, he kind of looks like he's got, you know, blank clothes on his face. He's playing really well, making some great throws. Yeah, he might smile and get a little bit more excited. But he's not a guy that, you know, looks to be, you know, all that outwardly emotional anyway. Which is good and bad about that, but that's just who he is. So you don't want to try to change that because then it will look inauthentic. He started slow. They picked some things up. You know, played well, much better in the second half. I'm just curious to see kind of as this thing goes. I mean, the Lions are a decent team. I don't think they're the best team in the NFL by far. So as they continue to move down this road, I'm curious to see how this offense is going to try to adapt. Because now the more they play, the more film they're going to have. And
right.
People are going to be able to figure that thing out the more you get, the more it goes. So it's going to have to Cliff Kingsbury to put that team in a good situation. And also on top of that, this roster isn't all that much better than last season. And so you also need to remember that this was a bad team last year for a reason, and they're going to be probably a bad team this year simply due to lack of talent, if nothing else.
You know, Bobby, out to L.A., the Chargers and the Colts game. Number one, what you saw from Jacoby Brissett now that he is, quote-unquote, the man in Indianapolis as their quarterback. And what would your message be to Melvin Gordon after watching what Eckler did in that backfield, running and catching for the Los Angeles Chargers?
Jacoby Brissett, you know, I thought he played really well. He made some really nice throws. It was great to see because, you know, he's a guy that's put in a really tough situation. He's going to be compared to Andrew Luck. And I think he held his own. I mean, this isn't going to be 2017 for him because their offensive line is so much better. So he carried himself very well, performed very well. And they've got the Colts have a good team. And so they have a good roster top to bottom. Having a great quarterback helps. I don't know if Jacoby Brissett could be, you know, as good as Andrew Luck ultimately was, but I think he can be better than what a lot of people believe initially. And then Melvin Gordon, I mean, I've said this, you know, multiple times since he held out. Like, the leverage between him and Zeke was incredibly different. Number one, the Spanish don't deal with people like this. They offered him $10 million a year. I don't know what the guarantees were. He should have jumped on that. Because your leverage isn't due to how good you are. It's due to how good your backups are. And they saw this from Austin Eckler last year. They also have Justin Jackson, who played really well. And they have a team that's built around Phillip Rivers and what he's able to do. So he's not as vital of a cog to his team as Ezekiel Elliott is to his. And
yeah.
As good as Melvin Gordon is, he's not – I mean, I don't think anybody is going to go out there and give him $15 million next year on the open market.
No, they're not the case, Bobby. We'll let you go on this doubleheader of Monday Night Football tonight. You know, for our audience out there, you know, what are you going to keep an eye on early game Saints and Texans down in New Orleans, and then, you know, what will be an intriguing atmosphere out in Oakland with the Broncos going to town to take on the Raiders?
Yeah, I'm curious, isn't the Raiders, how they're going to be able to move the football, like where their offensive weapons are going to be. You know, they didn't have Antonio Brown really all camp, but I think they anticipated him getting back. So now Gruden's been able to tweak that offense against a pretty good Denver defense. Like, Vic Fangio's going to have those guys greased up, Chubb and Miller on the edge, and they're going to be bringing a ton of heat. How does Derek Carr respond to that? Can they block him up front? And then you look at the Saints and the Texans game. You know, can the Texans protect Deshaun Watson? If they can, it'll be a close game. If they can't, I think the Saints end up running away from this. And they've got to find a way to keep the young quarterback upright.
Bobby Carpenter, a former star at Ohio State, Dallas Cowboys, NFL analyst. Hey, Bobby, we appreciate the time, as always. We appreciate you hopping on here on this Monday morning. Have a good Monday, good rest of the week, all right?
Thanks, Bobby.
My pleasure, gentlemen.
You got it. Give me a good feeling. Yeah, good. I mean, tonight, that atmosphere tonight, Taz. Oakland and Denver in the black hole. That's going to be... Yeah, those fans are crazy as it is.
I know.
Man, they were all celebrating after Antonio Brown came. What's that place going to be like? And I agree with them. If Tunsil and that offensive line can hold up, Deshaun Watson can make plays on the Saints. That should be I mean, it's 7 o'clock Eastern time tonight. It should be, you should get a lot of offensive fireworks between those two teams.
Absolutely. That late
watch
game.
Watch it be a 10-9 final.
Guys like us, it's a little rough, the late game. The Broncos Raiders. It's tough.
Yes,
that's
I agree.
10:20 p.m. kickoff Eastern.
Yes, we'll be counting sheep.
We will be. And after, yes. Then we come here in the morning and watch the game together. We sit around, eat popcorn at 3 a.m., watch the game.
Or watch the condensed version.
Well, that too.
Yes. You can do that, yeah. And Mike?
Pull back the curtain a little bit. There you go.
I'll be there with.
All right.
Mike's going to be locked in, soup to nuts, the entire game.
Oh, Mike. Oh, yeah. Nonstop. He's going to watch the whole thing. I might watch it twice.
Stay up all night.
Come back. We got the undercard for you. Taz Moose, CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Can guarantee low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every single day. Do more, brought to you by The Home Depot, the next generation of home improvement with everything you need to do projects smarter. The Home Depot, more saving, more doing. Let's take a look at a player who's doing more for his team. How about Pat's quarterback, the ageless Tom Brady? Passed for 341 yards, 3 touchdowns, no turnovers as the Pats slammed, embarrassed the Steelers last night. Beat them by 30, 33 to 3. You're fighting.
All right, well, a lot going on. We covered a lot here in this episode. We're still not done. This episode has been a great episode of Taz and the Moose for sure. I'd like to plug, I'm going to be dropping a Taz show. Episode 701 will drop today. For any wrestling fans out there that listen to the Taz show, just so...
Drops today. Check it out.
It's going to drop later on today.
Radio.com, Apple Podcasts.
Afternoon Drive Jones. Yeah, Radio.com, Stitcher, Spotify, and obviously Radio.com. I said Apple Podcasts, too. So, yeah, anywhere you get the Taz and the Moose, you get the Taz show. And a
lot of people listen. I'm sure you see it, too, on social media. You get a lot of people tweeting about they listen to our show via podcast, which is nice. I know our podcast numbers really skyrocketed, which is beautiful.
Which is a great thing. Yeah, good sign.
It's always been on the climb.
No doubt.
So always.
Up in the journey upward, right?
Yeah. That's one way to put it. Yeah. Onward and upward, as the old expression goes.
Right. Yeah, got to be positive.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It's nothing but things to be positive about. I mean, my whole life, and like your life, our lives are about positivity, Moose. That's what we do here.
All right. Let's get to the undercard.
That's kind of what we do. You know what I mean?
That is... every day.
Hottest Taz and the Moose present The Undercard. The stories from today's rundown that we haven't talked about on the show.
All right, let's go, Mike. What happened to Syracuse versus Maryland on Saturday?
A destruction. Thank you, Mike.
You're welcome. I did not expect that to go down.
No, I did not. They embarrassed them.
I know, they really did. 63-20, was it, I think?
Yeah, Dino Babers.
Oh, man, the Terps.
Syracuse quickly out of that top 25.
Holy cow. Man,
as much as we said hello, now we say goodbye.
Thanks for coming.
Yes. No,
you're right. Good point.
Oh, Maryland was ready for whatever Syracuse was throwing at them. That game was a disaster.
Yeah, dude, they put up 21 in the first quarter.
What was the high?
And the second quarter.
Before Syracuse scored, what was Maryland up before Syracuse scored?
Before Syracuse, they were up 21. They were up, was it 21, 14-0? I'm trying to remember.
21 zip?
Yeah, it seems like eons ago.
Yeah, the game was over.
Crazy, man.
Second quarter, the game was over.
42-13 at the half.
42-13 at the head.
And I was really looking forward to this game. And I watched it. And it
you
was
didn't
like,
have to watch much of it.
Sucked. No, I didn't.
You could transition quickly away to something more entertaining.
But I'll tell you what was entertaining. Was on Michigan struggling with Army.
They
barely got by, dude. Wow.
Army team's well coached.
Wow, they are.
Well coached. They're not as athletic, obviously. Michigan, tough to prepare for.
Right. And I'm going to tell you this right now. I know when my son was playing in the Patriot League and playing against Army and Navy. I'm telling you, those guys, those are men and women that are defending our country.
Soon. Yeah.
Okay. They're a different breed of 19 and 20-year-olds. They're a different breed. So yeah, Michigan struggled with Army. That doesn't shock me. These kids are these men and women. These men on this football team for Army. These are not these type of people, these service academy kids. I'm calling them kids, but you know what I mean?
No, young
men. Different breed of people.
They are, but even with all that being said, Taz, there was a run there where they were an absolute doormat. Where they were getting, they were getting rolled. I mean, every single week they were getting steamrolled. And you give that coaching staff a lot of credit. They found the right mix of what they need, bringing in, and what they need to do in order to be successful. And he's really turned that program around. He's turned it around against Navy in that Army-Navy rivalry. Remember, Navy just owned Army for all those years.
Yeah.
And they're a good football team.
They did.
They're a good football team. They were a 22-point dog going on the road in Michigan.
I don't.
If you bet Michigan laying 22 against Army, then that was a very foolish bet.
There's two overtimes, and they end up losing Army does. But the week prior, they beat Rice 14-7.
Yeah.
So, they've turned around.
It's easy, obviously. And if you've never been up to West Point.
Oh, it's beautiful.
It's beautiful.
It's not. You can't explain it.
Early fall, it's gorgeous.
It's unbelievable.
You got to go take a look.
Mikey Stadium right there on the water.
Right on the water.
It's awesome, man.
Awesome.
It's awesome. Yep.
All right. Next.
What did you make of the $350,000 watch that Odell Beckham Jr. wore in the game?
Yeah, this is where, and I've defended Beckham a lot, Taz. This is just nonsense.
Well,
this is nonsense. It's not focusing on what you need to focus in on.
Now, if he played really good, then we couldn't say that. But he didn't play good, say that.
No, he had 11 targets. He had 7 catches, 71 yards. I know he wasn't great. Taz, you should not be wearing a $350,000 watch during the game.
Well, if that's a mere bag of shells to you, which $350K is to him. No, but I would have done it, but I don't make the kind of money he makes. But, yeah, I look at it like, all can decide it's his money. He can do what he wants. But I get your point.
$350 during the game?
Dude, I know. It's crazy.
I mean, what are you doing?
I know.
I mean, I had an issue with Ezekiel Elliott wearing the nose ring.
Oh, that's nothing. How many nose rings you need to equal up $350,000?
I'm not equating the...
I know. It's kind of a weird conversation. Yes, thank
Moose,
you.
Moose, listen, great job today.
Great job. Wonderful. Connor, Mike, Andrew as well. Have yourself a wonderful Monday. Peace.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.